It was the kind of town where nothing big ever happened. A place where the loudest thing you'd hear on a summer night was a train whistle or kids riding their bikes past the diner. But that night, the sky turned wrong. First, it was light, like dawn had come early. Then a shape formed in the clouds, a figure, too big, too perfect. Phones shot up. People screamed, cried, prayed out loud. One woman dropped to her knees in the middle of Main Street, sobbing as she filmed the glowing form above her. And then, like every nightmare headline coming true at once, the news cut in. Anchors sat frozen, watching the same live feed everyone else was watching. Quote, this is happening worldwide. Around the globe, voices cried out in every language. But then the camera angle changed, just for a second. Rows of monitors, a control room humming with commands, engineers and officers speaking in cold, clipped tones. And in that moment, the miracle didn't look divine anymore. It looked manufactured. Because sometimes the scariest part of the story is realizing someone's been writing it for you the whole time. Every generation has been told the same story, that we're advancing step by step toward a better future, that rockets, jets, nuclear plants, and endless wars were just necessary costs along the way. But what if that story was never true? What if, since the 1950s, we've had technology that could replace all of it? Energy that doesn't burn. Propulsion that doesn't need rockets. Systems that could end poverty, pollution, and the oil economy in one move. And what if the people holding it decided not to tell us? This isn't just another conspiracy theory, because buried in patent filings, Cold War psychological warfare manuals, and even old Star Trek scripts, yes, really, are pieces of a plan that looks disturbingly like what one Canadian journalist warned about in the 90s. Serge Monast called it Project Bluebeam. He said it was a four-phase operation to dissolve faith, unify the planet under one system, and convince the world to accept a savior who isn't real. Back then, it sounded insane. But today, we have verified patents for holographic projection filed years before smartphones, declassified CIA and DOD experiments with synthetic telepathy, funding trails for psychological ops designed to control mass perception, and even testimony from people like Carol Rosen, who swore that NASA's own Wernher von Braun warned her the final card would be a staged alien threat. This isn't about little green men. It's about the world's most powerful governments and corporations having technology they've kept hidden for decades, and a plan to roll it out in a way that makes it look like we just discovered it. Because if even half of this is true, disclosure isn't the beginning of a new story. It's the final page of one we were never allowed to read. And the scariest part? We were never the audience. We were always the target. Hey folks, before we dive deeper, quick favor please. If you want more stories like this, the kind that slip through the cracks and barely survive the algorithm, please help me by subscribing. No fluff, no sponsors, just weird truths most channels won't touch. All right, back into it. Before Project Bluebeam became one of the internet's favorite what-if conspiracies, it was just a single book, written by a man who, at the time, very few people had ever heard of. Serge Monast was a Canadian investigative journalist born in 1945 in Quebec. By the early 1990s, he had become deeply suspicious of global power structures, especially the growing influence of the United Nations and the consolidation of military, financial, and media power under a handful of elites. In 1994, Monast self-published Project Bluebeam, NASA, a book that would eventually become the foundation of the theory we're talking about today. In it, he outlined a chilling four-phase plan. Use artificial earthquakes and staged archaeological discoveries to discredit all world religions. Project holograms of deities into the sky, customized for each culture and faith. Broadcast synthetic telepathic messages directly into people's minds, and stage a false flag alien invasion to terrify humanity into accepting a one-world government and a single global religion. Monast believed that NASA and the United Nations would be the primary organizations executing the plan, backed by the most powerful governments and corporations on Earth. When his book first surfaced, the text sounded impossible. But Monast was writing at a time when both the United States and the Soviet Union had been quietly experimenting with things that felt ripped out of science fiction. Behind the scenes, Cold War black projects were pouring money into psychological warfare research. Declassified programs like MKUltra, Artichoke, and MKSearch revealed that the CIA and Pentagon were already experimenting with mind control using drugs, hypnosis, and electromagnetic frequencies. At the same time, both superpowers were filing patents for holographic projection systems, atmospheric sound propagation, and plasma-based imaging weapons, ideas that could plausibly be used to create massive illusions in the sky. Even Soviet military archives, some declassified after the USSR collapsed, contain references to psychotronic weapons designed to manipulate human thought and perception remotely. So while Monast became the messenger, the framework for Bluebeam had already been laid out decades. He didn't invent the idea out of thin air. He connected dots that were already there. And that's where this story really begins, because Monast was just a match. The real fire? It started decades earlier, hidden in black budget labs, Cold War psyops manuals, and patents that no one paid attention to. Until now. When Serge Monast published Project Bluebeam in 1994, one of his most outrageous claims was that governments would use psychological manipulation backed by advanced tech to control entire populations. At the time, it sounded like pure science fiction. But the truth is, the foundation for everything he described was already in motion. 14 years before Monast's book, U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Michael Aquino, a psychological operations specialist, co-authored a paper called Mind War. This wasn't a conspiracy theory. It was an official military document that laid out how future wars wouldn't be fought with bullets, but with information, by controlling what populations believed. Aquino described psychological dominance as the ultimate weapon. The enemy wouldn't even know they'd been conquered because their minds would tell them they agreed. I quote, "In mind war, victory is not just an event, it's a permanent state of belief." Sound familiar? While mind war discussed manipulating perception, Cold War research programs in both the US and the Soviet Union began testing plasma and atmospheric weapons. Declassified fragments show experiments with directed energy, ionospheric manipulation, and even using charged particles to alter weather conditions. To the public, these were dismissed as harmless science experiments. But to intelligence insiders, they were tools, a way to bend the environment itself into a weapon. Then there's Canada's FOIA releases. Documents obtained through access to information requests confirmed that Canada and its allies funded experiments on synthetic telepathy. The goal? To decode and transmit thoughts directly into a human brain without a physical device. Exactly the kind of technology Manasse warned would one day let governments broadcast voices that felt like they came from inside your own head. Even Hollywood wasn't immune. Around the same time, Star Trek creator Gene Roddenberry was working on a script called The God Thing, about an alien that uses technology to pose as God. The script was never filmed, but 18 months before Manasse's book, an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation aired with a nearly identical plot, an alien deceiving a planet through illusions of divinity. It's almost as if the culture was being primed, trained to accept the idea that gods could be manufactured. When you line it all up, mind war, plasma weapons, synthetic telepathy, even media shaping, it stops feeling like a wild conspiracy theory. It starts looking like a playbook, one that was being written in plain sight long before Manasse sounded the alarm. What sounded like paranoia in the 90s now reads like R&D notes. When Serge Manasse released Project Bluebeam in 1994, his claims sounded absurd. Satellites projecting holograms in the sky. Voices beamed directly into people's heads. A global illusion convincing the world to accept a single religion and a one-world government. Even for conspiracy theorists, it was too far-fetched. At the time, the technology to pull it off didn't exist, or so we thought. But look at what's come to light since. In 1994, the same year Manasse published his book, a U.S. patent quietly appeared describing atmospheric sound propagation. In plain English, it proposed manipulating the ionosphere to transmit sound over vast distances. 2 years earlier, in 1991, another patent emerged, holographic image projection. On paper, it wasn't described as a psyop weapon, but it laid out a method to project convincing 3D images into the sky. Then DARPA stepped in. By the early 2000s, their Silent Talk project aimed to decode and transmit thoughts directly from brain signals, turning neural impulses into words. It's the kind of tech that could make someone hear a voice in their head without a speaker in the room. In companies like Raytheon and Lockheed Martin, names you always see on black budget contracts, have been awarded billions for directed energy weapons, electromagnetic manipulation systems, and next-generation communication tech. These aren't obscure footnotes. They are receipts filed, patented, and funded decades after Manasse warned about a world where the sky could lie to you. The uncomfortable truth? The ideas that got Manasse mocked and possibly killed look a lot less like fantasy today. And if this technology already existed on paper, how close are we to full deployment? Serge Manasse didn't just claim that a global deception was coming. He claimed it would be coordinated at a level that required both unlimited funding and unlimited secrecy. At the time, people laughed because there was no obvious budget line for fake alien invasions. But here's the thing. The money was always there. We just weren't supposed to see it. During the Cold War, the U.S. defense budget ballooned, but not all of it was public. By the late 1980s, researchers were uncovering black budget allocations, and I'm talking tens of billions of dollars a year unaccounted for, hidden under generic line items like R&D or advanced aerospace. And guess who was cashing those checks? Lockheed Skunk Works, Raytheon, Northrop, Boeing. The very companies Monast warned would be instrumental in building the infrastructure for Bluebeam, satellite-directed energy weapons, advanced aircraft, and they were quietly receiving massive contracts that never made the news. Monast died in 1996, and right after his death, unusual funding spikes began showing up, tied to unacknowledged programs in aerospace and intelligence agencies. FOIA requests reveal that agencies like the NSA and DOE, the Department of Energy, which oddly controls much of America's black budget weapons R&D, began quietly funneling billions into programs with vague titles like Advanced Field Propulsion and Electromagnetic Effects Research. So why the DOE? Because hiding tech research inside energy programs makes it almost impossible to track. Exactly the kind of bureaucratic sleight of hand you need to build the infrastructure for a PSYOP without anyone connecting the dots. Every time a new UAP task force or classified program made headlines, ATIP in 2007, Arrow in 2023, the money always flowed to the same few defense contractors. Bigelow Aerospace, whose founder openly funded UFO research. Lockheed Skunk Works, the same company whose former director Ben Rich allegedly said, quote, "We already have the means to travel among the stars, but these technologies are locked up in black budgets." Raytheon and Northrop, the companies that built the very satellites and weapon systems that could carry out the illusions Monast warned about. Monast wrote that a staged global event would require total control. A total control of space-based infrastructure, information, and energy systems. And that kind of control doesn't come cheap. The paper trail shows it. Every spike in black budget spending, every unacknowledged contract, every lost $1 billion at the Pentagon, they're not just numbers on a ledger. They're the receipts for a plan no one was supposed to verify. Because for a PSYOP this big, belief isn't the only currency. Money is. Serge Manasse claimed that Project Bluebeam wasn't just one event. It was a four-phase plan. Phase one, shake people's faith in everything they thought was true. The idea was simple. You don't just build a new world order. You first have to collapse the old one. So here's the playbook Monast described. According to him, phase one would use discovery ops, staged archaeological finds, to destabilize the world's major religions. Imagine if tomorrow we unearthed a scroll claiming Jesus never died on the cross, or proof that Muhammad's revelations were fabricated. Would people still believe the same way? Well, that's exactly the kind of shock Monast said would be engineered using earthquakes in strategic locations to suddenly unearth forgotten truths. But here's what's wild. When Monast wrote this in 1994, it sounded ridiculous. And yet, real discoveries have already caused crises of faith without anyone needing a conspiracy. The Dead Sea Scrolls in 1947, the Nag Hammadi texts in Egypt in 1945. Both finds added entire books and gospels to history that rewrote what scholars thought they knew about early Christianity. Neither discovery destroyed religion, but they created exactly the kind of doubt Monast warned could be weaponized. Back in the 90s, Monast theorized that artificially induced earthquakes could be used to reveal these finds. And at the time, that was dismissed as pure tinfoil hat stuff. But today, there's published research on induced seismicity, earthquakes triggered by fracking, mining, or even underground nuclear tests. The science is very real. It's not proof of Bluebeam, but it shows the basic mechanics Monast described weren't impossible. So why does this phase matter? Well, phase one is the psychological foundation of everything that follows. Because if people lose trust in their faith's origin story, they're more open to accepting a new truth. And Manasseh said that's exactly when phase two begins. Phase one shakes the ground, phase two takes the sky. If phase one shakes your faith in the ground beneath your feet, phase two aims to replace it with something new by rewriting the sky. Serge Manasseh described it as a space show. Images of gods and messiahs appearing in the clouds. Voices echoing from above in every language. A global miracle manufactured. It sounded absurd until it didn't. When Manasseh wrote this in 1994, there was no tech to make it happen. But just 2 years later, US patents start showing up, like Bernard Eastland's atmospheric ionization tech, filed in 1991, originally pitched as a communication system, but capable of creating massive energy disturbances in the sky. By the mid-90s, other filings surfaced for 3D atmospheric projection systems, using lasers and plasma to form visible shapes in midair. And today, we've seen it. You've probably seen the viral videos out of China, entire floating cities hanging in the clouds. Skeptics call it a mirage. But even mainstream coverage admitted that atmospheric projection is real, using light refraction and moisture to create massive visible illusions. In other words, the sky can be used as a screen. Manasseh's theory was that phase two would weaponize this exact kind of technology, only scaled up. Localized projections of Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, tailored to the dominant faith of each region. And eventually, Manasseh claimed those figures would merge into a single new god. The point wasn't just to impress people, it was to collapse the boundaries between faiths so a single belief system could replace them all. So let's connect the dots. Manasseh's critics always said, this tech doesn't exist. But patents proved the groundwork was being laid right as he wrote his book. And today, we've got advanced holography, plasma-based projections, and AI voice synthesis that could literally speak in a dead loved one's voice. Manasseh's timeline might have been early, but the roadmap? It looks eerily like an R&D checklist that's finally catching up. But, and this is a big but, even if you dazzle the world with a god in the clouds, not everyone will believe it. And Manasseh said, that's where phase three begins. Here's where it stops being a light show and starts getting personal. Manasseh claimed that once the sky show ran its course, the next step was direct communication, voices in your head, convincing you it was your God speaking to you. Back in 1994, that sounded insane, like science fiction. But here's the part nobody talks about. Because while people were busy laughing at Manasseh, the patents started piling up. In 1996, U.S. patent number 5159703, quote, silent subliminal presentation system. It literally describes delivering silent messages to the brain using ultrasonic frequencies. By the 2000s, DARPA is openly funding something called Silent Talk. Not a conspiracy theory, a real program. Its goal? Decode neural signals and transmit them to another person without speech. And then Canada's FOIA bombshell dropped. In the late 2000s, Canadian FOIA releases revealed government experiments on synthetic telepathy, or, in plain English, putting words in someone's head without them hearing a sound. It wasn't magic, it was radio frequency energy modulating neural activity. Today, it's practically mainstream. Transcranial magnetic stimulation, TMS, is already FDA approved for depression. DARPA's Next Gen Neural Tech, it's openly about modulating brain activity for enhanced soldier performance. Add AI-generated voices, user data profiles, and regionalized messaging, and suddenly, Monast's God speaking directly to you doesn't seem so far-fetched. Monast said people wouldn't just hear these voices, they'd believe them. And when you pair targeted messaging with the grief, fear, or faith of billions, it's not about persuading you. It's about making you think you persuaded yourself. Because if they can put a voice in your head, they don't need to convince you. You'll convince yourself. Next up, this is where the curtain falls. Monast's final phase wasn't just about fear. It was about control through salvation. You stage a disaster so big, so terrifying, that the only way out is the solution they've already prepared for you. The blueprint was always there. Think Operation Northwoods, the 1962 plan where U.S. officials proposed blowing up planes and staging attacks on American cities just to justify a war with Cuba. Now swap out planes for UFOs. Swap attacks on cities for fire from the sky. Suddenly, Monast's universal threat isn't some far-fetched sci-fi plot. It's a recycled script with bigger props. And then there was Von Braun's warning. Carol Rosen, a close aide to rocket pioneer Wernher von Braun, claimed he laid it out decades ago. Quote, "First it'll be communists, then terrorists, then rogue nations, then asteroids, and last, aliens." She said von Braun warned that each fear would be manufactured, each one scarier than the last, until humanity begged for global unity. Now, why would this even work? Because phase four isn't about fooling everyone. It's about fear stacking, religion shaken, the sky turned into a stage, voices placed into your head, and then the grand finale? Cities under fire. News anchors crying on air. A world desperate for salvation. Because by the time the aliens arrive, nobody's asking if it's real. They're just asking who will save them. And that's the scariest part. Because the savior, it's already been chosen. So, what would it look like if it actually happened? Imagine the night sky cracking open. Holograms, explosions, chaos. And behind the chaos, a control room full of operators pushing buttons. That is Project Bluebeam. It starts the way most big lies do, quietly. First, a discovery. A breaking news banner flashes. Ancient texts unearthed, evidence that religions got it wrong. The footage looks legit. Archaeologists in dusty jumpsuits. Journalists sweating in desert heat. Experts on morning talk shows arguing that faith itself was always a misunderstanding. Twitter fights explode. YouTube debates trend for weeks. Churches and mosques lose members overnight. Nobody agrees on what the truth is anymore, and that's exactly the point. Then the sky starts acting weird. At first, it's small, strange lights hovering over cities, luminous figures that only some people can see clearly. Phones capture blurry images. TikTok goes feral with real miracle videos. And cable news runs endless segments trying to debunk what looks like a glitch in reality. But the holograms don't stop. They get sharper, closer, louder. And just as people are freaking out, some start hearing things. Not everybody, but just enough people to move the needle. An imam in Cairo claims the voice of God spoke to him. a pastor in Texas says Jesus is choosing his new flock. A spiritual influencer live streams crying, claiming Krishna told her the world is about to change. And here's the kicker. They all start saying the same thing, the same exact phrases, down to the word. Governments scramble, but they're not calling it fake anymore. They're calling it unprecedented. And that's when the sky tears open. Huge, luminous shapes, deities, angels, messiahs, tower over entire cities. Jesus in one country, Buddha in another, Krishna over India. They speak to their own crowds in their own languages. And just as the world is paralyzed in awe, every one of them looks upward. A massive alien craft descends through the clouds, something that makes Independence Day look like a screensaver. The gods, angels, and prophets all merge together into one radiant being. It speaks, calm, measured, terrifying. You have fought for too long. It's time to unite or perish. Then the attacks begin. Explosions in the city. Cities under fire. Entire countries begging for protection. And just when it looks hopeless, the gods vanish. The explosions stop. And the alien ship is destroyed in a single blinding flash. News anchors choke back tears as the radiant figure returns and says one final thing. You are safe now. But to survive, you must become one. Crowds cheer. Leaders swear allegiance. Cash disappears, replaced by a new global digital credit. Armies dissolve into a world peace force. And nobody realizes that it was all a stage play. Every miracle, every voice, every battle, nothing but a script running on satellites, projectors, and signals you can't see. Because when the sky finally spoke, humanity stopped asking questions. And that's when the real control began. Would you recognize divinity if it came on unleashed control frequencies? Here's the thing nobody likes to talk about. If Project Bluebeam is real, somebody has to be running the show. And history gives us a pretty good list of suspects. The CIA, DIA, and NSA have been running perception ops since before your parents were born. Mockingbird media campaigns, UFO psyops, you name it. FOIA dumps even show entire manuals for manipulating belief at scale. Then there's the DOE, the quiet black budget king. They don't just do energy. They've bankrolled some of the weirdest classified projects on record. If you want tech that doesn't officially exist, odds are DOE cut the check. Even the brand new Arrow UAP office, the one that's supposed to get to the bottom of UFOs, their scope explicitly excludes human-made craft. That's not an oversight. That's the curtain being drawn just far enough so you never see who's behind it. And if you think that sounds paranoid, remember Majestic 12? Project Blue Book? Declassified documents confirm they weren't just studying UFOs, they were shaping what you were allowed to believe about them. Because in the end, Bluebeam wouldn't just be a tech project, it'd be the ultimate magic trick. And the guys pulling the strings? They've been practicing for decades. Now look, Project Bluebeam isn't just some evil plan for mind control. It's also a business decision. Think about it. If tomorrow the government admitted, hey, we've got working anti-gravity craft and free energy tech, the entire $7 trillion global oil economy collapses overnight. The petrodollar, gone. Countries whose power depends on oil exports, destabilized. And here's the kicker. That's exactly the kind of tech Bluebeam could be used to roll out. You stage a fake alien event, you recover the craft, and then voila, you have an excuse to suddenly debut the same technology you've had in black projects for decades. It's the perfect cover story. Nobody asks, wait, how long have you had this? Instead, they're just amazed you figured out alien tech so fast. Dr. Stephen Greer said it best, and I quote, every death from poverty was optional. If we've had this since the 1950s, every war for oil, every pipeline battle, every blackout, that was the price of keeping the secret. And that's why Bluebeam matters. Because the final phase isn't just about fear, it's about control. About who gets to decide how and when the future arrives. So let's be real for a second. This is where a lot of channels lose the plot. Most people who cover Project Bluebeam just repeat Serge Bonast's claims like their scripture, never stopping to ask, does any of this actually hold up? But that's not what Divergent Files does. We dig. We separate what's real, what's hype, and what's still a giant question mark. And the truth? Some of this just doesn't survive the smell test. Let's break it down. The earthquake angle? Yes, we can create earthquakes. Induced seismicity is real. It's happened from fracking and deep drilling. There's even research into triggering seismic activity with sound waves. But the scale Manas describes, precision quakes that unearth ancient artifacts to disprove religion? Well, that's Hollywood-level thinking. Pulling that off globally would take massive teams, huge machinery, and years of planning. It's not happening in secret without someone noticing. And now, what about killing religion? Well, good luck with that. Governments have tried for centuries to wipe out faith. Rome persecuted early Christians. Soviet Russia tried to stamp out religion. China's Cultural Revolution burned temples. None of it worked. People just went underground. Faith and family are impossible to fully erase. So Manast's idea that a staged discovery could suddenly destroy belief worldwide? That's unrealistic. Now how about the hologram problem? Could we pull off a global sky show? Well, we're closer than ever. Patents from the 90s detail atmospheric sound propagation. China's floating city videos hint at large-scale holographic illusions. But here's the catch. Most holograms still need a medium like glass, water vapor, or a specific reflective surface. The tech today is better than Manast imagined, but it's not yet convincing enough to fool billions in broad daylight. At least, not yet. Now, how about the mind control part? Well, that's a scary one, because this isn't science fiction anymore. DARPA's Silent Talk program studied how to send words directly into a person's head using EEG patterns, BCIs, brain-computer interfaces, are already here. Neuralink is only the shiny public-facing version. Electroconvulsive stimulation, ECS, has been around for decades, and we know electromagnetic fields can influence mood and cognition. This face of Bluebeam, the voice in your head? Well, that's disturbingly plausible. Now, how about the false alien invasion? Well, this one? Yeah, it's not as crazy as it sounds. False flag operations have happened. Operation Northwoods in the 60s literally proposed faking attacks to justify war with Cuba. The Gulf of Tonkin incident, the event that escalated Vietnam? Well, that never actually happened. Now add in the possibility that we've had advanced craft for decades? Think Lockheed Skunk Works? Tic Tac UAPs with no heat signatures? Patents eerily matching UFO performance? If governments wanted to stage a real alien invasion, they wouldn't even need holograms. They could just fly out the toys they've kept hidden. Well, then there's Manast himself. He was arrested in 1996 for spreading misinformation. The very next day, he died of a heart attack, at 51, in good health. His children taken away for state-mandated schooling. Maybe that's coincidence, but man, it's hard not to raise an eyebrow. So, could it work today? Honestly, that's the real question. With globalization, the internet, and instant communication, faking all four phases worldwide would be insanely difficult. Videos, leaks, whistleblowers, they'd be everywhere. You'd need unprecedented control over media, internet traffic, and dissent. But here's the unsettling part. How many times in the last 5 years have you seen the entire world latch onto the same narrative? Pandemics, wars, UFO hearings. We're more connected than ever, but that also means we're easier to reach all at once. So, here's what's fake. Precise global earthquakes as a religion killer? Not happening. A hologram so real it convinces the entire planet tomorrow? We're not quite there yet. But here's what's proven. Patents for holographic projection and atmospheric sound manipulation do exist. DARPA and others openly funded silent talk and neural interfaces. Black budgets and procurement contracts point to decades of exotic tech development. False flag ops have happened and been declassified. And then here's what no one has debunked. Why patents exist for tech that seems tailor-made for a psyop straight out of Manasseh's book? Why whistleblowers from military and aerospace keep describing craft that match those patents? Why Serge Manasseh just happened to die right after his arrest? Could the entire thing happen exactly as Manasseh said? No, probably not. Could pieces of it already be in play? Well, that's harder to dismiss. Because even if Bluebeam as a complete package is just theory, the tech, the budgets, the psychological warfare manuals, those are very, very real. And maybe that's the real psyop. Not to make you believe everything, but to make you dismiss all of it. We've just spent an entire episode pulling receipts, patents, budgets, psyops, all the stuff that makes this sound less like science fiction and more like a plan waiting for a green light. But at the end of the day, it always comes back to us, people. And that's where it gets messy, because we're complicated. We're the species that's burned each other alive over borders and books, that's looked the other way while power crushed people who couldn't fight back. But we're also the same species that runs towards collapsing buildings to save strangers, that stays up all night in hospital waiting rooms for friends who have no one else, that donates blood after a disaster because deep down, something in us just says, help them. That's the contradiction that makes Project Bluebeam so terrifying. Because if you give the wrong hands the right tools, history tells us exactly how dark it can get. But history also tells us something else. No government, no psyop, no ultimate plan has ever beaten the quiet rebellion of people who just refuse to forget what matters. Family, faith, and love. Those aren't just words, they're anchors. The things no hologram, no false god in the clouds can ever replace. And maybe that's the real test. Not whether they'll try to pull something like this off, but who we choose to become if they do. Because technology can deceive, it can divide, it can even rewrite the sky. But it can't decide what we do when it really matters. That part? Well, that's still up to us. Hey, if you stuck around this long, thank you. This kind of work only exists because of people like you. If these deep dives matter to you, if you think conversations like this need to exist outside of the algorithms, please subscribe, share this with someone who would appreciate it, and help keep Divergent Files independent at patreon.com/divergentfiles for as little as $3 a month. It means the world. So after everything we've just uncovered, maybe the real takeaway isn't fear, but choice. Until next time, stay curious, stay awake, because you, right now, are the reason truth still has a chance. These investigations are powered by those who believe truth still matters. Thank you to our Patreon supporters. Join the mission at patreon.com/divergentfiles.